Well, hello there. This is Evangelist Timothy Gruber here at the Word of the King, the Holiness Bibles for the Blind.
Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 4 tells us that where the word of a king is, there is power. We may say unto him, what doest thou?
Judges chapter 16. Judges chapter 16, we're going to start at verse 1 and read down through the whole chapter. Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there an harlot, and went in unto her. And it was told to Gezite, saying, Samson has come hither. They compassed him in, and they wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning, in his day, we shall kill him. Samson lay till midnight, and rose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city, and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders, carried them up to the top of an hill that is before Hebron. It came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek. His name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her, and said unto her, entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said unto her, if they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dry, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withs, which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. She said unto him, Philistines be upon thee, Samson. He break the withs as a thread of tow is broken when it touches the fire. So his strength was not known. And Delilah said unto Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Delilah therefore took new ropes, bound him therewith, and said unto him, Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were leers in wait abiding in the chamber. And he brake them from off his arms like a thread. Delilah said unto Samson, hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with the web. She fastened it with the 10 and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awaked out of his sleep and went away with the 10 of the beam. And with the web. She said unto him, how canst thou say I love thee, when thy heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these 3 times, and hast not told me where thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words, and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, he told her all his heart, and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven then, my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like other men, like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lord of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he hath shaven all his heart. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. She made him sleep upon her knees. She called for a man, and she called him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. She began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. She said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out, as at other times before, to shake myself. And he wished not that the Lord was departed from him. The Philistines took him, put out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza, bound him with the fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. I mean, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. And the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon, their god, and to rejoice, for they said, our God delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. When the people saw him, they praised their god, for they said, our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy, and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. It came to paths when their hearts were merry. But they said, call for Samson, that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport.
Yes.
And they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad, and held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called to the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee. Strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. Samson took hold of two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and of the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines, and he bowed himself with all his might. And the house fell upon the Lord and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew in his death were more than they which he slew in his life. And his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the burying place of Manoah his father. And he judged Israel 20 years.
Yes.
Consider. Verses 2 and 3, Judges 16. And it was told together, saying, Samson has come hither. And they compassed him and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. Samson lay till midnight, and arose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city, and the two posts, and went away with them, and barred all, and put them upon his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of an hill that is before Ephraim. When I think of Samson taking the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts, going away with them, putting them upon his shoulders, carrying them up to the top of the hill that is before Hebron, I'm reminded of Jesus carrying the burden, the weight, of my sin, of the sins of the world, to the top of the hill called Calvary.
Yes.
God committed his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we should be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we should be saved by his life.
Yes.
When I think of how the Gathites laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city, saying, in the morning when it is day, you shall kill him. I'm reminded of the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and how they, as it were, laid in wait all night in the gate of the city, seeking kill Jesus Christ, whether it was morning, whether it was day.
Yeah.
Verse 4 of Judges 16, and it came to pass afterward that he, because Samson loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And this Delilah was a harlot. Even so, I think of how Israel was likened in Scripture to a woman. And Israel, the day at the time of Christ, when he was manifest in the flesh, was playing the harlot spiritually before the God of Israel. It's written in Isaiah chapter 1. Verses 21-23, how the faithful city become a harlot that was full of judgment? Righteousness lies in it, but now it murders. Thy silver has become dross, thy wine mixed with water. Thy princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loves gifts and followeth after rewards, It does not the fatherless, neither do the call of the widow come unto them. But notice, thy princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loveth gifts and followeth after rewards.
Yeah.
And what do we see? Verse 5. And the Lord to the Philistines came up unto her, Delilah, this harlot, and said unto her, entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him. We may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver.
Yeah.
There it is. And so, even as this woman, this harlot, Delilah, was ready to take, to receive a reward, a gift, with silver at the hands of the lords of the Philistines. So, the woman was ready and willing. Israel, playing the harlot, through one Judas Iscariot, was ready, was willing to receive the reward, silver, to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we read the Gospels, we see over and over how Israel and the lords of Israel, the scribes, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, lords lowercase l, were enticing and tempting Jesus. Look at a couple examples now. St. Mark chapter 3, starting in verse 1 down through verse 6.
Mom.
And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he said unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he, Jesus, saith unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day to do evil? Say, light unto kill, but they held their peace. When he had looked round about them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. Verse 6, and the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him.
Yep.
St. Mark chapter 12.
Yes, it did.
Verse 12. And they sought to lay hold on him, but feared the people, for they knew he had spoken the parable against them, and they left him and went their way. Verse 13. And they sent unto him certain of the Pharisees and of the Herodians to catch him in his words. Verse 14. And when they were come, they say unto him, Master, we know that thou art true, and carest for no man, for thou regardest not the person of men, but teachest the way of God and truth. Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? Shall we give or shall we not give? But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said unto them, why tempt ye me? Bring me a penny that I may see it. And they brought it. And he said unto them, whose is this image superscription? They said unto him, Caesar's. Verse 17, and Jesus answering said unto them, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's, and they marveled at him. St. Matthew chapter 12, starting verse 1 down through verse 8. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were at hungered and began to pluck the ears of corn to eat. When the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day.
Oh, yeah.
He said unto them, Have ye not read what David did when he was at hunger, and they that were with him? How he entered into the house of God, and did eat shoe bread which was not lawful for him to eat, even for them which were with him, only for the priest?
Yeah.
Or have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath day the priest in the temple profane the Sabbath, they are blameless? Yeah. But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple.
Yeah.
If ye had known what this meaneth, I will not curse you, not sacrifice you, not if you tell the guiltless. The Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. So once again, we see the Pharisees seeking to accuse the Lord of the Sabbath himself. Even as they sought to entice him, even as they sought to tempt him on many occasions. Another one we're going to look at, St. Matthew chapter 19. St. Matthew chapter 19. Actually, first of all, let's look at St. Matthew 16. Then we'll go to St. Matthew 19. St. Matthew chapter 16, starting in verse 1. Pharisees also, with the Sadducees, came to tempt him, desire him, that he would show them a sign from heaven. Verse 2. He answered and said unto them, When it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering.
Yeah.
You hypocrites, can you discern the face of the sky? Can you not discern the signs of the times?
Yes.
Verse 4. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. So look at one last example, St. Matthew chapter 19. Starting in verse 1. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coast of Judea beyond Jordan. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause?
Yeah.
So, and of course, Jesus gave them the answer that he gave them there in the context of St. Matthew 19. So, back to Judges 16. Look at verse 6. And Delilah said to Samson, Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lies, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. Now, a number of times as we read down through here in Judges 16,
being pretty straightforward, too.
We saw that Samson had his power in spite of the efforts of Delilah, who was in conjunction with the lords of the Philistines. He had his power whereby he was able to overcome their connivance, we'll say. And likewise, there were a number of times when the scribes, the Pharisees, Sadducees, when they sought to, as it were, lay their hands on Jesus Christ, but Jesus, being Lord God omnipotent, being all powerful in the flesh, he was able to avoid their connivings as long as he wanted to avoid their connivings.
Yep.
If you jump down here, verse 16 of Judges 16, it came to pass when she, Delilah, pressed him, because Samson dealt with her words and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death. Verse 17, and he told her all his heart, and said unto her, There hath not come a razor upon mine head. For I have been a Nazarene unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. But she urged him, in verse 16 it says, she urged Samson, so that his soul was vexed unto death. He reminds of how Jesus, in the context, the one gospel account there, I believe, in the context of when he was approaching his time in Gethsemane and getting all the more close to his time to be crucified. He spoke of his soul being sorrowful even unto death. And even so, Samson, just like he willfully gave up the secret of his Nazarite vow, howbeit the secret concerning his power to resist any connivance of his enemies, he willfully gave that secret up. And so reminded of how it is written, St. John chapter 10, verse 17 and 18. Jesus Christ himself declared, "Therefore do my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." So, we see that type of Jesus Christ there. We see how the lords of the Philistines, how they wanted to bind Samson. And so, even so in Matthew chapter 27, verses 1 and 2, one reads, "When the morning was come, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. But when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate."
Yes!
Verse 3, "Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, 'I have sinned that I have betrayed the innocent blood.' And they said, 'What is that to us? See thou to that.'" Verse 5, "And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself." Verse 6, "And the chief priests took the silver pieces and said, 'It is not lawful for to put them into the treasury, because it is the price of blood.' And they took counsel and brought with them the pot of steel to bury strangers in. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day."
Yes.
"9, that was fulfilled after spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, 'And they took 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they and the children of Israel did value,'" verse 10, "'and gave them to the pot of steel, as the Lord appointed me.'" Yep. You stop to think about how Samson, he served as a means of sport to the people there, the Philistines. Verse 25, Judges 16, "And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, 'Call for Samson, that he may make us sport.' And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport. And they set him between the pillars. It is written, the prophet Isaiah, prophesying of the Lord Jesus Christ in Isaiah 53, 'He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare the generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living.'" As we continue reading down here in St. Matthew 27, what do we see but Jesus being a means of sport before the people? Verse 11, "And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, 'Art thou the king of the Jews?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Thou sayest.' But when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. And said Pilate unto him, 'Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee?' And he answered him, Nevertheless, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. You read down through here. Verse 18 says, for he knew that for envy they had delivered him. Just like the people. I mean, especially the scribes, the Pharisees, and the Pharisees were envious of Jesus Christ. Same said, the Philistines were envious of Samson because of the power that he had as well. But you read that whole account down there in Matthew 27, as well as any of the other gospel accounts, and you will see Jesus was a means of support for the people in his day, the time of his suffering. Just like Samson was a means of support for the Philistines in his day. Verse 29. Actually, start up at verse 25. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall, gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and they reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him, and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. Verse 30, they spit upon him, and took the reed, and smote him on the head. After that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him, and put on his own raiment on him, and led him away to crucify him. Verse 35, 34, he gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. Verse 35, and they crucified him, and parted his garments, casting lots, to make it fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots.
Yeah.
Verse 36, and sitting down, they watched him there. Verse 37, and set up over his head his accusation written, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. And the mocking went on. Yes, Jesus was no doubt a means of support to people in his day, time of his suffering, and those who rejected him. And so, we see Samson coming from prison and being a sport, made a sport to the people. Consider also something else here to think about, too. Verse 20, and she said, Delilah, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. So Delilah said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he, Samson, woke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he was not, the Lord was departed from him. So we see the Lord departed from Samson. I'm reminded of how Jesus cried on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Yeah.
Now, verse 27. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. There were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee. Strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. Yep, I'm reminded of how Jesus himself prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Verse 29, Samson took hold of two middle pillars upon which the house stood and on which it was borne up of the one with his right hand and of the other with his left. Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself all his might. And the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew in his death were more than they which he slew in his life. So, in light of this, by the power that is written, that Jesus, he spoiled principalities and powers. He made us show them openly. He himself conquered the enemies of death, hell, and the grave. Verse 31. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol, the burying place of Manoah his father. And he judged Israel 20 years. Even as Samson judged Israel, so Jesus himself will judge Israel. He will sit upon the throne of his father David. He will rule and he will reign from Zion for 1,000 years. So Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee. Strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. You know, I kind of liken that right there. I would kind of look at that as Samson's Gethsemane moment. I'm reminded of how Jesus prayed when he prayed unto God the Father in St. John 17. Prior to his death on the cross, his being buried, and ultimately rising from the dead, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. When I think of Samson taking hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, the one with his right hand and the other with his left, I think about Samson had to spread out his arms. In order to do that, he had to spread out his arms, just like Jesus Christ had to spread out his arms on the cross, showing his passion and showing his love for sinners. Samson, when I consider verse 30, and Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the devil slew his death for more than they which slew his life. And so the house of Satan was ultimately judged, defeated forever there that day, Calvary. And we can praise the Lord and give him thanks tonight, those of us who know him personally. Death hath no more dominion over us.
Amen.
We are free forevermore. Nothing shall ever separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
The Word of God declares, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Word of God declares that by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in God's sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, the Word of God declares, the first of the Ten Commandments. Who, what is your God this day, sinner? The Word of God declares, first and greatest commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, all thy mind, all thy strength. You have failed. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second commandment is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Have you always done unto others as you would do or have done unto you? No, you've not always done unto others as you would have them do unto you. Nor have you always loved the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. Ye must be born again. For it is written, but God commendeth his love toward us. Well, thank God for the good news, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. For the wages of sin is death. Revelation 21:8 says, but the fearful, and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Ah, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
receive his gift by faith today, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. God manifest in the flesh, he rose from the dead. He's coming again, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Call upon the Lord today. This is Evangelist Timothy Groover. Till next time, God bless you and yours.